It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The impeachment hoax. It's the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on our country.
He has, in fact, committed impeachable offenses.
It is about Donald Trump putting Donald Trump first, not the American people.
You have a president who puts America first. America is the envy of the entire world. At my direction, the United States military launched a flawless precision strike that killed the world's number one terrorist. Great percentages of people don't have legs right now and arms because of this son of a...
Donald Trump is taking us pell-mell toward another war.
He is going from crisis to crisis, from escalation to escalation.
Hey, we're going to raise your taxes. Now they want to take away your private health insurance.
Medicare for all. We save money, comprehensive health care, because we take on the greed and the profiteering.
This is our one shot to defeat Donald Trump, and to do it by such a big margin that we send Trumpism into the dustbin of history, too.
America is thriving like never before. And ladies and gentlemen of Wisconsin, the best is yet to come.
All right, that was a montage on Fox last night. Fox, actually, no, that's not true. Fox and Friends first this morning. I thought it was so good I wanted you to hear it because it's a counter between the two views. It was the Democrats debating in Des Moines, Iowa, the five Democrats, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Tom Steyer. They're the only ones standing. They are the last men standing on that stage. And the debate was last night. Meanwhile, across the country, well, not that far. Milwaukee's not that far from Des Moines, Iowa. The president of the United States was holding a rally in Milwaukee. And so that was a counter of their various views. The Democrats didn't have much to say about President Trump last night. I think they tried to stay on the down low. But Amy Klobuchar weighed in on impeachment, which, by the way, they think that many people think that Nancy Pelosi will be voting on those articles of impeachment this morning and sending them over to the Senate, and that the trial will begin next Tuesday. When Senator Amy Klobuchar was asked about this, this is what she had to say.
We've asked for only four people as witnesses, and if our Republican colleagues won't allow those witnesses, they may as well give the president a crown and a scepter. They may as well make him king. And last time I checked, our country was founded on this idea that we didn't want to be ruled by a king. This is a decency check on our government. This is a patriotism check. Not only is this trial that, but also this election. And no matter if you agree with everyone here on the stage, I say this to Americans, you know this is a decency check on this president.
Yeah, well, so unless you really understand that the House was the one that was supposed to bring in witnesses and gather all the evidence and present their case then to the Senate, as though the Senate is the jury. The House gathers the evidence, presents it to the jury, and the jury decides. But now, because the House, you know, decided they had to hurry and impeach the president, and they did not call witnesses, the president invoked his, I believe, technically executive privilege so that some could not, in his cabinet closest to him, could not testify. But it went to the courts, and the courts were going to render a ruling, but Nancy Pelosi would not wait for that ruling. She said it was an emergency. They had to get Trump out because he was going to harm the 2020 election. And so they, without having interrogated the witnesses they said they were desperate to talk to, they compiled their articles of impeachment, and now they're sending it to the Senate, and they want the Senate to call witnesses. It's not the Senate's role to do that. And yet, we'll see. The problem for the Democrats is if they do call witnesses in the Senate, of course, they will call people like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and others. It won't be pretty. It will be a mess. And so anyway, that's what Amy Klobuchar last night had to say about it on the stage. It was a patriotic duty. You know, it's a litmus test for Donald Trump. It's just a whole smokescreen, really, about what's actually happening. But nothing is new. Amy has a very winsome way about her, very convincing. She's kind of that aw shucks, Midwestern person who is actually quite on the left. So that's what happened last night. The dust up, the thing that's getting everyone's attention, is this issue of whether Bernie Sanders told Elizabeth Warren that he didn't think a woman could be elected president. It is just so ridiculous. All the headlines are talking about that, about their exchange. So you must hear their exchange. It's clip six. Here we are.
CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want. Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015... I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren.
I'm going to interrupt this because I'll just tell you what happened. So Elizabeth Warren, the moderator says, she says that you said a woman could not be elected. And Elizabeth Warren says, yes, you did say that. He says, no, I didn't say that. And then at the end of the debate, she refused his hand. And then they got into some kind of a really animated altercation. Nobody knows quite what they were saying. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is the big topic in Iowa, whether Bernie Sanders said that a woman cannot be elected president of the United States, as though, even if he said it, that's the most important thing about him, that somehow defines the campaign, that it's the end of the road if anybody dare say, even if they want women to be elected president of the United States, that they dare speculate that it might not be possible, it's death to them. I'm defending Bernie Sanders, unbelievably. I'm not really. Who would you believe? In a debate between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren about the truth, I think I'd choose Bernie Sanders. But my point is, that's not important. This is silly stuff, folks. We have so many other things going on in the world that are important, and this is what the media wants to talk about. I don't want to talk about it. I just did, but I want you to know about it. I just think it's silly. I'll tell you what is not silly. This came out yesterday, and chances are you haven't heard about it. James O'Keefe and his Project Veritas went behind the scenes, and they went to Iowa, and they spent time with Bernie Sanders' field organizer, whose name is Kyle Jurek, and they got some stunning audio from Bernie Sanders' field organizer. And I want you to hear a little bit of it. You just must. It's really jaw-dropping. It is so profane that a lot of it will be beeped, but I will give you an idea. I want to just tell you that the undercover person for James asked Kyle if MAGA people, Trump supporters, could be re-educated if Sanders wins the White House. And Jurek says, well, in Nazi Germany, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was a blank of the populace that was blanking Nazified. He goes on to say that Bernie Sanders' free education policies, Bernie keeps talking about free education for all, were to teach you how not to be a blanking Nazi. There's a reason Stalin had gulags. And he said, expect violent reaction if you disagree. If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, Milwaukee will burn. That's just part of it. I want you to hear it, and then I'll clarify more of it. This is a Bernie Sanders field operative in Iowa. This should have been major headlines yesterday. Let's listen, clip seven.
So if Trump gets reelected, what?
Cities burn.
You didn't think that some of these, like, MAGA people could even be re-educated?
I mean, we gotta try. I mean, in Nazi Germany, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was a ton of the populace that was Nazified. I mean, like, Germany had to spend billions of dollars re-educating people to not be Nazis. Yeah. Like, we're probably going to have to do the same thing here. And that's kind of what Bernie's like, hey, free education for everybody, we're going to have to teach you not to be a Nazi. There's a reason Joseph Stalin had gulags, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, gulags were a lot better than like what like the CIA has told us that they were. Like, people were actually paid a living wage in gulags. They had conjugal visits in gulags. Gulags were actually meant for, like, re-education. The greatest way to break a billionaire of their, like, privilege and their idea that they're superior, go out and break rocks for 12 hours a day. You're now a working-class person, and you're going to learn what that means. Right?
Bernie doesn't get the nomination.
But
it goes to the second round in the DNC convention. Go off and get Bernie. It'll start in Milwaukee, and then when they and when the police push back on that, and other cities will.
If your speech is calling for the elimination of people based on race or gender or religious, like for whatever reason, like things that people can't change, then you should expect a f***ing violent reaction. Mm-hmm. And you deserve a violent reaction.
Be ready to be in Milwaukee for the DNC convention. We're going to make 1978 look like a f***ing Girl Scout cookout. The cops are going to be the ones that are getting beaten in Milwaukee.
All right, I think that's the end of it. I wasn't sure. All right, so I want to repeat. This is a Sanders, a field operative in Iowa. And James O'Keefe and Project Veritas caught him on mic. And I already told you, you heard him say that MAGA, people that support Trump, should be sent to re-education camps like the Gulag. And the Gulags were not so bad. They were not so bad. They were conjugal visits. And it was a great place to have blanking, you know, wealthy people go to learn you know, their place and to be realize that they're just workers, to kind of re-educate them. And then he goes on to say, you can expect a violent reaction. If Bernie doesn't get nominated, Milwaukee will burn. I want to get into that a little bit because I'm not sure you could hear it. He says, if Bernie doesn't get the nomination or it goes to a second round at the DNC convention, blanking Milwaukee will burn. It'll start in Milwaukee, and then when the police push back on that, other sites will blanking, and he goes, poom, like it makes the sound of an explosion. He also says that Milwaukee could see riots akin to the 1968 convention in Chicago. Many of you don't remember that. You were too unborn. You were unborn in 1968. There were terrible riots then, but of course, the police in Chicago managed that. And some, you know, there have been a lot of criticisms of how the old mayor Daley handled that, but it was very violent. It was a bad scene. And he's saying we could have riots in Milwaukee akin to the 1968 convention in Chicago. Be ready to be in Milwaukee for the DNC convention. We're going to make 1968 look like a blanking Girl Scout blanking cookout. The cops are going to be the ones blanking, beaten in Milwaukee. And it goes on. This is not even all of it. I don't think we got this on the clip, but I want you to hear. So the person, the O'Keefe person talking says, well, what are we going to do with people, liberals, you know, who are not a liberal enough? And he says to them, says that we're going to get the liberals are going to get the blanking wall first. And that's a reference to putting people up against the wall and shooting them. He says, who are you going to throw down with? That's the question to him. And he says, the billionaire class, the blanking media, pundits. He fantasizes about killing the staff of cable news channel MSNBC. Walk into NBC News, drag those blanks out by their hair, light them on fire in the streets. And it goes on and on. And he says, what are we going to do with those who resist the change? I'll tell you what, in Cuba, what did they do to reactionaries? Well, the Project Veritas guy says they shot them on the beach. And the Kyle says, do you want to fight against the revolution? You're going to die for it, blanker. And that's Jurek. I mean, that is what the Bernie Sanders, remember, it was a Bernie Sanders supporter who shot up those Republicans in the baseball field in Alexandria. This should have been the headline from yesterday. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for United States Attorney General William Barr. He is serving for the second time as Attorney General, having originally served during the administration of President George H.W. Bush. James 2:10 reminds us of the importance of obeying the law. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for William Barr in his work as Attorney General. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Favich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There's a big battle brewing in the Commonwealth of Virginia over gun ownership. Democrats in the State House are advancing a number of gun control measures, including a law that would ban indoor shooting ranges. In response, as many as 100 jurisdictions have declared themselves to be sanctuaries for the Second Amendment. Should that happen, Congressman Donald McEachin said the governor may need to nationalize the National Guard. That would be a grave mistake, according to Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. Liberty is located in Lynchburg, a pro-gun community. Falwell was a guest on my talk show the other day, and he issued a word of warning to the Democrats.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to call for civil disobedience if the Democrats go through with this.
Falwell told me he has never seen Virginians so fired up over a piece of legislation.
You don't mess with people's guns in this part of the state.
Well, you can listen to the full interview with Dr. Falwell on my podcast at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hey, Sandy Rios back with you. I want to thank those of you who have helped us raise money for the sonograms through Preborn. You will recall that Preborn, their ministry is to put sonograms in various pregnancy centers around the country. And when women who are pregnant, unexpectedly, young or old, see the picture of their babies, because these sonograms are very detailed, many of you have seen them now of your own babies, about 80% of the women choose to keep their babies. It really is phenomenal. And so Preborn is needing your help. We're asking $28. It costs $28 for one person to have an ultrasound. And so that's not very much money. Maybe some of you can only afford $28, but of course, if you can afford more, you can do the multiple of that and give as much as you possibly can. At this point, we have 417 out of a goal of 2,500. So we need more of you to help us with this. Our phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net and make your most generous donation to Preborn. All right, you may remember, I certainly do, that about 10 years ago, Obamacare was signed into law. Can you believe it's been 10 years? But I will never forget when the architect of Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber, made a statement in the year, the months ensuing, that was shocking to those of us that knew about it. This is what he had to say about the plan that he helped create. Let's listen.
You can't do it politically. You just literally cannot do it. Okay? Transparent financing, and let's have transparent financing, also transparent spending. I mean, this bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay? So it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Okay? Just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
So there you go. That's the architect of the Obamacare telling us how stupid we are that we actually allowed that bill to go through because we're just too stupid to know what it really said. He knew what it said. It was complicated and difficult on purpose so that we would know what was about to happen to us. Remember Nancy Pelosi famously said, we'll have to read the bill so we'll know what's in it? Well, one of the things that helped was this huge PR campaign. I remember this very well. We had various entities in this country coming aboard supporting Obamacare, which was a radical change. Thank you, President Obama. A radical transformation of the way we did health care. It has affected us in terrible ways, I have to say. And so one of those entities that was very helpful, very, very helpful, I remember Andy Griffith on television telling us how wonderful Obamacare was. And he was representing what organization? AARP, the Association of American Retired Persons, which is supposed to be the advocate for older people in this country. Now, don't hang up or stop listening because you think this is only for older people, this discussion. It isn't, because it affects all of us in one way or another. Phil Kirpin is, let me just say that Phil is just a standard bearer in Washington. He's highly respected. He's held a lot of positions. He's very smart on finances and business and certainly on health care. He's the president of American Commitment, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we get into this discussion of AARP, I would just really be interested to know what your assessment is of our health care system in this 10 years. I know that's a big question that I didn't say I was going to ask you, but how has Obamacare worked out specifically, and where are we with this whole business of health care in this country right now?
Well, the $2,500 savings that President Obama promised obviously didn't materialize. They did bend the cost curve, but they bent it up, not down. And in particular, there have been two, I think, very harmful trends that most of us are seeing, you know, over the past decade, and those are towards higher deductibles and narrower networks. And the narrow networks are a particularly big problem because, especially for people who are sick, and, you know, Democrats kept telling us, you know, we're going to protect people with illnesses, where people aren't going to be excluded for pre-existing conditions and stuff like that. But increasingly, the plans that people have when you're supposedly covered exclude the best facilities. And the ones that you really want, if you do have a serious medical condition, are typically not included in the networks of any of the Obamacare plans. And so we've seen this trend where people are forced to go out of network more and more, and therefore their coverage is very limited, and they're ending up paying a lot of out-of-pocket. And even when they are in network, most of these plans now carry very high deductibles. And so unless you have, you know, significant medical expenses in a given year, you're not really able to get much back from your insurance. You end up paying out-of-pocket significantly more than you did in the past. And some policies that are paired with HSAs, and if you're able to put the money in there, you can still get the tax advantage of the, you know, the deductible amounts. But now even the non-HSA, the policies, the ones that are supposedly not high deductible, they also have high deductibles in most of these plans. And so the tendency for most people over the last 10 years is that they're paying more and they're getting less in terms of access to high-quality facilities, you know, many of which are no longer in network for any of the insurance plans. And so I think Obamacare has failed to deliver on any of its promises. We're now paying more, and we're getting less access to care than we had before.
Yeah, actually, I just talked to someone just in passing a few days ago, and she is probably 57, something like that. And she said that she just told me, because we were talking about other things, that she pays $600 a month for her policy, and there's like a $3,800 deductible, so she's virtually uninsured unless it's something catastrophic. But Phil, you know, don't you think that kind of, in a way, may have been part of the plan, too, to set people up to be more amenable to thinking about this Medicare for All or nationalized health care?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of us said that 10 years ago. We said, look, this is a system that is either designed to fail or is designed by people who are idiots because it's going to fail. And so, you know, I mean, this was sort of the big question on the right was, are they doing this on purpose or do they not know any better? But we looked at this scheme and it was pretty obvious, I think, to most conservatives that it would not work. And we kind of said, well, you know, they're going to blame private insurance when their government scheme fails, and they're going to say the solution is even more government. And I think, you know, a lot of the people called us conspiracy theorists, said that was ridiculous. But here we are a short decade later, and basically every Democrat of any prominence is saying they want us all in a government plan, Medicare for All. They're basically quibbling over whether they want to go directly there, like Bernie Sanders, and just ban all private insurance immediately, or do it more gradually with, you know, a public option and an on-ramp and a transition period. So the only debate among Democrats now is how quickly can they get us all into, you know, a forced government insurance plan. And you know, 10 years ago, if we had said that, and a lot of us did say that, they said we were lying. You know, fact checker said it wasn't true, that it was not a step towards that, and yet here we are.
Yeah, and here we are. And, of course, the group of Americans that are most affected by all of this are anyone that's a lot more seniors 10 years later. People that thought they were never going to be seniors are now seniors. And one of the most trusted names for seniors in terms of health care advice, plugging you into the best deals, whatever, it's a huge organization, is the Association of American Retired Persons, the AARP. You just wrote an article, Phil, saying that the AARP is just a United Health marketing scam. All right. We have to talk about that because people still trust them. So what's going on here?
First of all, minor correction. Sometime in the 1990s, they came out and they said, we don't stand for American Association of Retired Persons anymore now. It's just AARP. It officially does not stand for any words. It's just letters. And I kind of think that's fitting in a way because I don't think they represent retired persons. I think they did it because they wanted to market to people in their 50s who were still working. It's why they did it. But I think it's appropriate that they sort of officially stand for nothing because a lot of people have the impression that when they go to AARP, they're seeing a menu of all of the healthcare products, all the insurance products that are out there, and they can find one that's best for them. And it's not true. It's a misimpression. In fact, AARP has an exclusive contract with UnitedHealth, the largest insurance company in the country. They only sell UnitedHealth products. They sell branded AARP UnitedHealth products. And every time an AARP branded UnitedHealth insurance plan sells, AARP charges a royalty of 4.95%. They're basically skimming just slightly less than 5% off the top of all of those sales that they sell. And if you go through AARP, if you call them or go through their website and you shop for insurance that way, and a lot of people on Medicare do buy their Medigap policies that way, you're not going to see everything that's out there and what's best for you. You're only going to see one insurance company's products. You're only going to see UnitedHealth products. And this is an extremely lucrative arrangement for AARP. They make over $600 million per year doing that.
Wow.
And as a consequence of that, Sandy, they sort of, in the policy debates that we have in Washington, they always happen to take the same side as UnitedHealth, as their business partner, and UnitedHealth's pharmaceutical benefit manager division, OptumRx, the largest PBM. And you know, in all of these debates about drug pricing issues and healthcare reform issues and all these things, you know, the insurance industry, the biggest insurance company, UnitedHealth, sort of has this secret weapon because they put AARP out there carrying the same messages that they want from a business standpoint, and politicians are scared. They say, oh, this must be what seniors want. This must be what voters want. We need to listen to them. And in fact, they ought to be hearing it very differently. They ought to be hearing it as, okay, this is UnitedHealth's business partner with UnitedHealth's policy position. And I think that if they understood that, which is the reality, in my opinion, if they understood that reality, we'd be much better off because they wouldn't be able to use that good brand they have to distort the health policy debates in Washington the way they did in Obamacare when seniors were telling AARP 14-1 that they wanted to oppose it, and AARP went out and supported it anyway.
Yep,
and
it's
they made
disgusting.
A lot of money from that.
Yes, they did, and that's the untold story. That's the point that I did not make. That they made tons of money doing that, sending Andy Griffith out on the front lines and doing their, you know, their soft camera, soft glow, nice little AARP for seniors. You know, it's a scam, and here they are scamming American seniors one more time. making tons of money. You said $600 million a year doing this. Now, but Phil, of course, people, AFAARP is so branded in people's names, young and old, that and it does provide a lot of other benefits. I don't know what. I don't even know because I don't participate. But it's hard to shake loose. Is there an alternative that you know of yet?
Yeah, there are a few. There are a few groups. There's one called AMAC that has a lot of the same product benefits and discounts and stuff like that. That's been growing a lot in recent years. I'm a big fan also of the 60 Plus Association, which is the group that Pat Boone is the spokesman of. That was founded by Jim Martin.
And yes,
they're more of an advocacy organization. But if you're a senior who cares about these policy debates, they do a very good job of representing, conservative seniors' views in Washington. And I'm sure there are a few other ones as well. And I would say this, if AARP has the best price and the best plan and the best product for you and your situation, I'm not going to say don't buy it just because people I don't like and liberals are making money on it. It might still make sense for you. But I would say make sure that's not the only place you look at, because you're not going to see a range of choices. You're just going to see those exclusive United Health products.
Specifically on the issue of the price of medications and prescription drugs, Nancy Pelosi has a plan she's trying to pass. And what is that plan? And AARP, as I understand it, is supporting this. So what's that about? Phil, we just have a few minutes left here.
Yeah, the House sort of rushed this through the same week that they did the impeachment and the USMCA, so it was not very well noticed. But they did a bill called HR3 that I think is the most draconian price control bill we've ever seen in this country. They set up a quote-unquote negotiation in which the government sits down with the drug manufacturer and says, this is what we think the price of your product should be. And if the drug manufacturer does not agree to that government price, they get taxed 95% of their total sales of that product in the previous year. And that's not 95% of profits. That's 95% of total sales. So the actual tax would be way over 100% of profits. And so it's basically a death penalty tax if you don't take the government set price. And that might seem nice in the very near term, because the price of drugs would fall a lot if the government were setting the price, politicians and bureaucrats were setting the price. But we would see a massive decline in R&D spending on new cures. The Congressional Budget Office says private sector R&D would fall by $100 billion per year under a scheme like this. And it's easy to understand why, Sandy. No one's going to spend billions of dollars developing a new cancer drug or Alzheimer's drug or any other kind of new cure if they're never going to be able to make that money back, because government can set the price at any price they want, and it could be very low, and you're never going to make back what you spent developing it or any kind of return for your investors. And so the Pelosi plan, which they're going to be pushing very hard for in the Senate, and there's a sort of a health care cliff coming May 22nd, so there is going to be a health care bill this year, and they're going to push very hard for these provisions in the Senate. It's the worst possible way to lower drug prices, because it completely undermines any incentive for developing new cures. And a legitimate seniors group would want new cures, would want new Alzheimer's drugs, would want new cancer drugs, would want new diabetes treatments. And so the idea that AARP was out there cheerleading for this bill that would be catastrophic for R&D and new cures can really only be understood when you understand that they're speaking for United Health, and United Health owns the largest pharmacy benefit manager, OptumRx, and they'll make a lot of money if government sets prices low, and frankly, they'll probably make even more money if there aren't new cures, because new cures are expensive, and if they don't have to cover them, that's probably good for their business, even though it's obviously terrible for seniors. And we do need to pass a bill to reduce drug prices in this country, no question about that. And there are a lot of Republican alternatives that have been suggested, but we have to do it in a way that we preserve the ability to make money on R&D and the incentive to develop new cures. And to me, the most attractive way to do that is to reduce the profits that are being diverted by middlemen, by the pharmacy benefit managers, who basically tell the manufacturers they're supposed to represent the buy side, the pharmacies. They should be negotiating for lower prices, but instead they're saying, hey, we want higher prices because we're taking a percentage, and we want large rebates because we have an exemption from the federal anti-kickback statute.
So
we should be going after precisely them.
Phil, we're out of time.
For them, which makes it tough.
Very fascinating. Let me just say, Phil's new article is AARP is just a United Health marketing scam. We'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can read it and absorb it and share it. And by this way, this affects people of all ages with these drug possible limitations of drug research. Phil Kirpin, thank you so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
for nothing is hidden that will not become evident. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Nick Sandman has received a settlement from CNN after his $275 million libel lawsuit against them. The settlement amount is undisclosed, but knowing his lawyers, Nick's nickname now is likely Nicky Rich. Interestingly, during the suit, CNN initially filed a motion to dismiss, arguing that calling someone a racist is not a provable fact and therefore does not rise to the level of libel. They made this argument in court while CNN talking heads called President Trump and others racist as a statement of fact almost daily on their network. The argument must have failed because now CNN has paid, literally, for their lies.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
I refer to your part-time jobs as what you do outside of your home, outside of your family, to generate an income for your family. Your full-time job is what you do within your family. We're on the go consistently. People are hustling, trying to get it. And I just want to remind everybody to whoa, pump the brakes. Make sure that we are not neglecting our families in the process.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Show up at your full-time job, ready to work.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wessling, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Homelessness is a massive problem in America. What's the solution? The first step is to get government out of the way. Government has been throwing billions at the problem and things are no better. The problem should be handed over to faith-based nonprofits supported not by tax dollars but by the generosity of kingdom-minded people, just as the Good Samaritan helped the victim he found with money from his own pocket. Such organizations will provide shelter but most importantly help people get right with God and accept responsibility for their own lives. Then we must again allow people with chronic mental illnesses to be placed in faith-based facilities designed for the purpose, even if it is against their own will if necessary. It won't be easy, but bringing Christ into the mix will be far better than anything that we are doing now.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The U.S.-China Phase 1 trade deal being signed today bears little resemblance to President Trump's ambitious agenda for dramatically restructuring bilateral commercial ties, let alone ending Chinese predatory trade practices. To be sure, the PRC is supposed to buy additional U.S. foodstuffs, but China would likely be purchasing more pork, wheat, and other commodities from us anyway, given the disease-driven decimation of late of their domestic production. Mr. Trump is certainly alive to the danger that, as with all of the previous trade deals with the Chinese Communist Party, this one will be violated by Beijing. We can also bet that the Chinese will stonewall any effort to get more and more enforceable structural reforms in a Phase 2 deal. There must be real costs for such bad faith, and notice should be served now in the interest of deterring it later. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
They want to send us to a country where they're also fleeing violence. It's not fair.
With border apprehensions down 70%, the administration isn't just forcing asylum seekers to wait in Mexico, but deporting some to Central America.
So far, we have returned, I believe, 96 individuals under that plan.
Acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf returned last week from Central America, where he finalized agreements with officials there to accept asylum seekers, including Mexicans.
It hit us like a bomb. I don't think any Mexicans want to go to Guatemala.
Asylum seekers say U.S. law protects them from being deported to unsafe areas.
Critics will say that putting women and children in these border cities for months at a time is illegal, if not inhumane.
I don't understand that, because it's exactly what we do inside the interior of the U.S. We often have folks travel 4 or 5 hours in the U.S. to go to court date, immigration court dates.
The administration has also begun flying migrants deep into Mexico to relieve border cities and deter illegal reentry.
In the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, we won the big, big, beautiful lawsuit. You can now fund the rest of the wall.
Bolstered by a federal court ruling last week, the administration is reportedly planning to again divert billions from the Pentagon budget to almost double the 450 miles of wall it claims will be finished this year.
This is another example of Donald Trump trying to fulfill a political promise that has nothing to do with the safety and security of the American people.
Congress appropriated roughly $700 billion to the Pentagon this year. The administration is considering using more than $7 billion for the wall. It is unclear what programs could be postponed or killed because of it. Brett?
All right, there was William LaJeunesse last night on Special Report. Interestingly enough, in the Democratic debate last night, no mention of immigration. No mention of the wall, no mention of the problems at the border, nothing. Zero, zip, zed, nada. But I will tell you, at least I'll start with Bernie Sanders. This is his position, his political position, just so that you understand. Again, could I repeat, that whole nonsense about his dust-up with Elizabeth Warren is silly. Silliness. We shouldn't waste our time thinking about such a small, inconsequential dispute. It means nothing. And so this means something. What's happening at the border, Bernie Sanders wants to deconstruct the Department of Homeland Security. He wants to offer free government health care and public college for all illegal immigrants. He wants to back a moratorium of all deportations of illegal immigrants in the United States. And he also has called the border crisis fake. It's a fake crisis, according to Bernie Sanders. So I just want you to understand, these are the serious issues. I mean, he's just one candidate that I'm mentioning out of five. Because of time, as the campaign goes on, I will talk more about their positions. But right now, Democrats have to decide which one of those people they want to be their candidate. And once they do that, we'll talk more about it. Bernie Sanders also, I just think he's dangerous. And I think Elizabeth Warren is too, by the way. Tom Steyer is too, for that matter. He's out of his mind. The environment, he's obsessed with the environment. You know, he thinks that, you know, things are going to end in 10 years and everything's about the environment to him. It's smart people who do not know how to assimilate the information that they know are not wise. Wisdom requires, you know, is the ability to take in a lot of information and apply it to real life. And that's what's missing here. Now, Bernie Sanders, I think, is just wicked. Now, he sounds like a nice guy, except he's kind of grumpy. But he seems much more innocuous than he actually is. I'll give you an idea. In regard to paying for socialism, he said people in this country would be delighted to pay more in taxes. Bernie has refused to say if he will support the government taking over major industries. He's refused to say. He also doesn't disavow comments where he called for the nationalization of major industries. This is what happened in China. I told you I'm reading this book about this family in China that ran this business with incredibly high business standards, a lot like the best of American capitalism when it's honesty and a great product and delivering service and all of that. And the Chinese, this company was taken over by Mao Zedong and the Chinese communists because they nationalized every single business. And then, of course, everything changes. People aren't able to get good goods and services. I can tell you that firsthand, for heaven's sake. I lived in West Berlin, used to go through the wall, through Checkpoint Charlie, not through the wall, but through that Checkpoint Charlie gate to get into East Berlin. And I can tell you that the goods and services were just horrendous. The food, everything, lines for just the basics of life. Same thing in Russia where I was. Same thing in Cuba. Same thing in Venezuela. Are you kidding me? So you say you want to get rid of rich people who own companies? They do us a great benefit. When they are honest operators, they provide thousands and thousands. They provide our jobs. They boost our ability to get good goods and services. Anyway, I could go on that. But Bernie Sanders, kind of wants to nationalize industries. He also refuses to guarantee that America would not become a socialist country if he's elected. Of course it would. He is more than a socialist. I'm telling you, he spent his honeymoon in Moscow. Nobody did that in 1980-something. Nobody did that. You did not travel to Russia. It was behind the Iron Curtain, and they were our number one enemy on the globe. But he spent his honeymoon there. What does that tell you? All right, I could go on and on about Bernie Sanders than that, but that brings me back to that video we played in the first segment from Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, where they went undercover and caught this Kyle Jurek, who's a field organizer for the Sanders campaign, saying the most horrendous things, that MAGA people would have to go to re-education camps like the Gulag. The Gulag's not so bad. If people didn't agree with the thought, if Bernie Sanders is elected. Now, this is Kyle saying this. This isn't Bernie Sanders saying this, but Kyle has a really good job with him in his offices in Iowa, which is where the first caucus is, the first vote on the candidates. So somebody must know how Kyle feels, because he certainly doesn't hold back. And he said, basically agreeing with the questioner, that if anyone did not disagree with the Bernie Sanders thoughts about things, or the collective, or you fill in the blank, then they could be, you know, lined up and shot. Why not? He said Milwaukee will burn if Bernie doesn't get elected at the convention there to be the nominee. He said so many other things that I can't repeat it all. It's just horrendous. By the way, we'll put that video on our Facebook page. You know, the language is horrible, so you have to know that. A few things are bleeped out, but it isn't all. So you don't want your children to listen to it, but you need to know. You need to know how vile. And you have to remember that it was a Bernie Sanders supporter that shot and tried to kill those Republicans who were just simply practicing baseball on the field in Alexandria, Virginia. So this should not be such a shock to us. Anyway, we'll put that video on our Facebook page, so I'm hoping you will share it, because even Fox did not cover this. Now, maybe today they will. I did not see it anywhere on their website. I didn't see it on any of their shows. It certainly wasn't in Special Report last night, and it should have been. It should have been the biggest story of the day. This is a very big deal, because when we talk about these candidates, and sometimes they can become caricatures, and they can be humorous, and that's true. They are. There's funny things about them, but this is serious. This is serious. We have enough young people and enough Americans supporting Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, too, and the others, that we should be very concerned and very vigilant. We are really in a very, very tenuous place in this country. And I try to say that to you every day, not to just make you worry for nothing, but worry for something. There are some things that we have to worry about. So enough of that. All right, I want to go back to a lighter note. You know, not to mention that every candidate on that stage loves abortion, for heaven's sake. They have no morality, no remorse, no compunction about killing babies, you know, for all 9 months. It's just horrendous. And we don't have, we've had some wonderful, thanks be to God, some wonderful success. By the we, I mean those of us that believe life is precious in the womb and should not be terminated or dismembered or destroyed in any way. We've had some wonderful things. Speaking of medical research, referring back to Phil Kirpin and my discussion about this whole business of capping or putting price controls on drugs, which is what funds medical research in this country. Not saying we shouldn't lower drug prices if we can. It's just that we don't want price controls put in by the Democrats, because then research companies will not be able to discover things like the 4D ultrasound. The 4D ultrasound has revolutionized things for pro-life, the pro-life movement, because 80% of women, when they see those babies, they see their baby, the hands, the little thumbs sucking, they see the eyes. When they see that, even on the early, very earliest stages, they don't abort. 80% of them just don't abort. They say, that's my baby. They're even the mothers who just think they can't manage, find a way to manage with the help of these crisis pregnancy centers. And the organization that helps them do that is Preborn. Preborn is in the business of placing these ultrasounds in various pregnancy centers around the country. And we partner with them all the time, American Family Association, and we're asking for your help right now, because Preborn needs some funds in order to provide these machines. Now, the way we've made it, I think, as understandable as possible is that it breaks down to a cost of $28 per woman per ultrasound. So, you know, you're not buying an ultrasound machine yourself, but it's $28 per woman. So that just gives you an idea and gives you kind of a way to sort of think about how you might be able to give what you can afford. If you can just afford one, then that's one, for heaven's sake, one child whose life will likely be saved. 80% chance that that baby will, the mother will keep that baby. So it's $28. The phone number is 87. It's not just $28. It can be $28. It can be as much as you can give. Obviously, more is better. But the phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. All right, I have several things I want to share with you in a short time. Really promising information on General Flynn. Last night, his attorney, Sidney Powell, filed a motion to have him withdraw his guilty plea because of government malfeasance. Actually, I'll let you hear Sidney kind of explain it a little bit. She was on with Sean Hannity last night. Let's listen.
They've been abusing their power for the last year in spades, Sean. The reason this all came to this is because they tried to get him to lie in the prosecution of United States versus Rafikian, his former business partner. And with new counsel standing by his side, of course, there was no way I was going to let him do that, and he didn't want to do that. So we pushed back on that with evidence that we presented to them for hours, showing them all kinds of different things that supported the fact that he was telling the truth. And instead, they doubled down, came against him, tried to designate him a co-conspirator, even though they had told the judge in the Eastern District that he was not. They never thought he was. I mean, it's just been one atrocity after the other. And then their recent sentencing memo is just full of lies and distortions. So they breached the plea agreement when they tried to withdraw their motion to recommend that he was going to be given probation and want him sent to prison.
And now they changed it.
Well, it could go either way. He certainly has a discretion as to whether to allow the withdrawal of the plea, but we're more than convinced we meet all the tests, no matter which way you look at it. And this is just the first part of the motion on that. This portion of the motion is based on the breach of the plea agreement. There are a lot of other reasons that we'll brief as soon as we possibly can.
That was Sidney Powell, and she is, of course, Sidney has been on the show before. She's been defending General Flynn. She took the case over, I think, 6 months ago, and she's fighting, fighting, fighting. And the things, I don't have time now to recount with you, all the things that the FBI did to set him up. It is a horrendous story, horrendous. Sarah Carter was on with Sean last night, and I think she says it well. Let's listen to Sarah talk about who General Flynn actually is. Clip 12.
Lieutenant General Flynn, Sean, I knew this from being on the ground in Afghanistan, working in Iraq, covering these stories. Here was a man that everyone that I spoke to, every soldier that knew him, every senior official in Iraq that worked with him in Afghanistan that was close to him, knew who this man was. He was a true patriot. He loved the soldiers. He did everything he could to fight for the truth. He went up against President Obama because he believed that the narrative that Obama was telling the American people was false. And it was false. But because of that, he drew in a slew of enemies. We heard Comey laughing at him. And that's exactly what I was thinking as you were saying that, Sean. I was like, all you have to do is listen to how former director, fired FBI director James Comey, laughed about how they took advantage of this administration. And one more point here, Sean. Look at what the FBI did. We know now, based on the Horowitz report, all of these egregious violations, how they changed the FISA. And
all right.
And now
I'm
going to
interrupt Sarah, but man, look, Sarah's husband lost both of his eyes, special services in Afghanistan. She has a fire in her belly, and so do I, by the way. General Flynn was supposed to be sentenced. It's been stalled for 30 days. We just pray that this particular motion will be heard. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.